Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources for the Feast of the Holy Family. Our Gospel is Matthew 2:13-23, with verses 16-18 not used. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. This then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." Initial observations. Our gospel for today is a combination of real history, typology, and theology. To understand the text, it is important to have a clear idea of Matthew's purpose here and his intentions at this point in his infancy gospel. The lectionary excerpt omits, for obvious reasons, verses 16 to 18, although these are vital to discerning Matthew's purpose. Kind of writing. In Matthew 1 to 2, the evangelist offers the listener's readership a deep, virtually complete grasp of the identity of Jesus. To achieve this goal, Matthew makes use of several typologies and a series of fulfillment citations. The typologies are both innovative and traditional. For example, the David typology is already traditional. See Romans 1:1-7. To move the story on, there is a Joseph typology from Genesis 37-50. There we find a Joseph who dreams, who is exiled, who becomes a source of salvation for his people in Egypt, whose bones are eventually to be brought back. It is not accidental that the New Testament Joseph is named as a descendant of a later Jacob, see below. The exile typology, emphasized in the genealogy and found also in our gospel, brings with it a deep note of tragedy, an anticipation of the tragic death of Jesus on the cross. Furthermore, and perhaps most importantly, the Moses typology, richly present throughout this gospel, is firmly established here as a key to the identity and role of Jesus. The sense of continuity with God's earlier disclosure to the Jewish people is sustained in the series of fulfillment citations from the Hebrew Bible. These citations function as static theological markers, acting as a counterpoint to the narrative drive of the typologies. Finally, in Matthew 2:1-12, a concentric pattern is clear. Magi, Herod, Magi. In Matthew 2:13-23, exhibits the same triple scheme, Joseph, Herod, Joseph. Old Testament background. Apart from the typologies noted above, each citation is significant for Matthew's purpose. A brief comment is attached to each citation. When Israel was a young man, I loved him like a son. I summoned my son out of Egypt, Hosea 11:1. This text was never read in a messianic way in Judaism. It evokes the Exodus, just as the baptism will evoke the Red Sea and the temptations will evoke the testing in the wilderness. The Lord says, "A sound is heard in Ramah, a sound of crying in bitter grief. It is the sound of Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are gone." Jeremiah 31:15. In the New Testament, only Matthew explicitly cites Jeremiah here, 2:18, at the Caesarea Philippi scene in 16:14, and in the Passion narrative at 27:9. One Jewish tradition located the tomb of Rachel, matriarch of the tribes of Benjamin and Ephraim, at Bethlehem. The final citation, as is well known, does not exist in the Hebrew Bible or in the Greek Old Testament. Matthew's carefully vague introduction indicates his awareness of this. In a quite modern way, Matthew's citation resonates with a number of significant messianic passages in the following way. "A shoot will grow out of Jesse's root," or stock, Netzer. "A bud will shine from his roots," Isaiah 11:1. "For you shall receive and you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Judges 13:5, compare 13:7 and 16:17. "The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of the eternal mountains or the desirable things of the age-old hills. They will be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of the prince, Nazir, of his brothers." Genesis 49:26. New Testament foreground. I quote simply the last generations in the genealogy in Matthew. Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. Matthew 1:15-16. St. Paul. The quotation is from 2 Corinthians 3:12-16. "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we behave with great boldness, and not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from staring at the result of the glory that was made ineffective. But their minds were closed. For to this very day, the same veil remains when they hear the old covenant read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. But until this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." A brief commentary. Verse 13. "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.'" Fleeing to Egypt in times of crisis or famine was quite usual. The family sojourn there shows Jesus recapitulating the saving history of the chosen people. Compare: "When Pharaoh heard about this event, he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian and settled by a certain well." Exodus 2:15. Verse 14. "When Joseph got up, he took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt. As always, the obedience of Joseph is silent and absolute, the mirror image of the divine command. Verse 15, and remain there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfil what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Herod the Great died in 4 BC. Both Matthew and Luke 1:5 time the birth of Jesus to the reign of Herod. The Anno Domini calendar was championed by Dionysius Exiguus from circa 470 to circa 544. The Polish historian Laurentius Suslyga was the first to suggest that Jesus was actually born around or before 4 BC, the year of Herod's death, and this seems to be right. Verse 16. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. Although this action is completely in character for the paranoid Herod, who killed his own sons, there is no historical record, nor even any hint of this event elsewhere in the New Testament. Instead, the purpose of the story is, again, a recapitulation, this time of the story of Moses. In Exodus 1:22 we read, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, all the sons that are born you must throw into the river, but all the daughters you may let live. Verse 17. This was to fulfil what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Matthew is careful not to say that the massacre happened in order that scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 18. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This is the third formula citation in Matthew's infancy gospel. It reminds us that Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves, came precisely to save humanity from the tragedy of death by means of his own tragic death on the cross. Verses 19 to 21. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. The Moses typology continues to be quite evident. In Exodus 2:23 we read, during that long period of time the king of Egypt died. And in Exodus 4:19-20 we read, the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, because all the men who were seeking your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and headed back. Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. Archelaus took after his father Herod the Great, but unlike him, did not reign long. First of all, Augustus reduced him from being a king to an ethnarch. A successful petition to Caesar against him led to his removal in AD 6. Joseph is warned in a dream to take the family to Galilee of the Gentiles, Matthew 4:15. It may be that the Holy Family pictured as displaced persons mirrored the experience of the Matthean community after the Jewish war. Verse 23. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he will be called a Nazarene. The challenge of this citation was noted above. What is Matthew's purpose here? Jesus was not known as Jesus of Bethlehem, but as Jesus of Nazareth. Even more, his followers were called Nazarenes, Acts 24:5. Matthew wants to show that the fact that Jesus came from Nazareth was not an accident, but part of the divine plan. Pointers for prayer. 1. The threat to the child Jesus put Joseph in a situation where he had to make a quick yet wise decision. Perhaps you also have had to make a speedy response to an unexpected crisis. Who were the angels who guided you to wise decisions? Remember them and give thanks. 2. The whole narrative is designed to bring out the guidance of God's providence for the child Jesus. Have there been times when you have been grateful that things worked out well for you despite adverse circumstances or experiences? 3. External forces forced migration on Joseph and his family until he came to establish a home in Nazareth. Where have you lived before coming to the place you now call home? How has this journey helped to fashion the person you are now? Perhaps you have a mixture of gratitude and regrets as you look back. Give thanks for the good memories. What helps you to deal with the disappointments and hurts in the past? Bring them to God with a prayer for further healing. 4. The story and today's feast remind us of the importance of the family in nourishing and fostering new life. Recall and give thanks for those in your own childhood who helped you find your way in life. Prayer. Loving God, guardian of our homes, when you entrusted your son to the care of Mary and Joseph, you did not spare them the pains that touch the life of every family. Teach us to rely on your word, that in our trials, as in our joys, we may be clothed in gentleness and patience, and united in love. Make us ever thankful for the blessings you give us through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in the splendour of eternal light, God forever and ever. Thought for the day. Our gospel today omits, understandably, the brutal massacre of the innocents. While the story is indeed brutal, it is unfortunately not unrealistic. Its omission is a pity because the tragic side of life is underscored in different ways by both Matthew and Luke in anticipation of the Passion. They were not composing sweet scenes for Christmas cards. On the contrary, they were addressing the human condition in its mystery, its joys, and its tragedies. It is precisely within the family that we encounter death, life, happiness, and the sheer wonder of being at all. Today's feast invites us to look unflinchingly at the whole picture in all its complexity. Prayer. God, bless us all as members of our different families. As we thank you for the gift we are to each other, we ask your guidance and grace in all we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody.